To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a tranquil view of Unicoi Lake comes to us from Fred Dimmick, who shared this serene scene from his recent visit to the Unicoi Lake State Park in the Chattahoochee Onokinee National Forest near Helen, Georgia, on social media on August 22nd. I apologize for any mispronunciations of those words to the Georgians or the indigenous people who came up with those words. Anyway, well, it's Saturday and I share Fred's photo in hopes that it will provide some serenity now to me and to wish all my friends reading or hearing this message a good weekend. As for me, I was unpleasantly surprised to have my plans for a joyful reunion with my wife, Tammy Lynn, to be delayed yesterday, and my employer informed me that it didn't receive enough volunteers to meet its needs, the needs of business today, so I am forced to work overtime today, which immediately sounds like an oxymoron when you consider the increased compensation I'll be receiving for working. However, as we should all know, there is no price you can put on your time or freedom, and this forced work assignment has taken both from me. I know, if I don't like it, I can quit. I know, I've been forced before, and if I didn't like it then, I should have gotten a new job. I knew what I signed up for, and yada, yada, yada. Suck it up, buttercup. I know. Anyway, I surprisingly took the bad news quite well. While it pained my heart to be separated from my wife for another day, I told myself all of the above. A man's got to do what a man's got to do, after all. The job pays for my needs and wants, and this is the deal we made. The forced overtime isn't personal, it's business. And ironically, if I had voluntarily pursued overtime, gave up my time, and chased that money previously, my self-enslavement may have been prevented, my forced servitude today. They draw who is forced from the bottom of the list or the top, I don't know what it means, the top of the list, I don't know, of who has the least overtime hours, as if to say, hey, you haven't been helping us out by surrendering your freedom before, so now we are going to make you work. Aha. However, the other techs that are being forced in today are not afraid of overtime, and it didn't keep them safe. So as much as some would advise to be smart and keep yourself safe by doing whatever, sometimes it doesn't matter what you do. Sorry, Charlie, we see what you tried to do there, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, I find myself at River House this morning because to do what I do on a workday morning at Countryside is just unimaginable. Its location isn't the only thing rustic about my second home in Easton, and I'm afraid that I haven't built up enough emotional resilience or joy capacity yet to contemplate trying to do all that I do in the morning in the mornings with Countryside's limited facilities and deal with a longer commute to boot. I spent a week's staycation at Countryside, and even in those relaxed conditions, didn't know what to do with myself as I didn't have that at-home feeling. Ironically, this morning, I am at my most comfortable location, but because I'm sort of forced here this morning, I got triggered by the cluttered state of the common areas of the living room and kitchen as my adult children regularly violate the standards of cleanliness that I outlined and maintained when I was weekending in Easton. So I was triggered into sending a message this morning to both my 20-something kids, informing them I wasn't happy with the mess they had left, reminding them that their rent was increasing come January, and encourage them to find other living situations and or employment to support themselves somewhere else if they couldn't abide by my standards. I told them that come Monday, any personal items or trash left in the living room or kitchen would be put in the garbage on a daily basis going forward. I'm glad I said what I said. I've said it before, but also fear that it will cause a further relational divide between me and my kids. I love them dearly, but they are both adults now, and as much as I would like for them to leave the nest, I fear what that would mean to our relationships, as we are merely roommates these days. I just want them to keep the house neat when I'm not around, but fear that my message may have been too much. But at the same time, I don't think it will send them packing, although I suppose it could, and realize that one day, sometime, that will happen. And I don't like it. I don't think I like it. So many changes have come with the new life, with my new life in Christ, and the disillusion of my previous family unit is one of them. You know, my kids will always be my kids, but it's just not the same anymore. And they're gonna move out. And what you know, how often will we get together then? I guess we'll see. Well, that's all ad lib, by the way. That's not in the blog. As much as I was triggered into sending the clean house or get out message this morning, I actually wanted to talk about another trigger I experienced after receiving the bad news of being forced to work today. After hearing the news and having to contemplate what I would have for dinner yesterday, I got the thought to get a rotisserie chicken from Walmart to treat myself, quote unquote. My initial figuring was that because I had a very light breakfast and lunch, I could have the chicken and still be within my food plan. But when I got to the store and scanned the chicken's nutritional information into my Fitness Pal app, I was informed that it would be over my daily caloric limit. So I was challenged to either decide to go over my limit or put the chicken back, or to contemplate the unthinkable, eat only half of the chicken. No way. So I decided that the chicken cost too much in terms of calories and decided that I could have more than just one thing by eating what I had at home. So I went against the grain of where I was headed and amazingly walked out of Walmart purchasing nothing. Right after I got in my van, I realized that this whole episode was an addictive pattern that I had gone through so many times before. I got bad news, and then I went to comfort myself with substance, food in this case, but in the past it would have been food and mass quantities of alcohol. In my past, it was ridiculous with the way I used to go to the store to buy things to make me, quote unquote, feel good. So vicious was the cycle at times, I wouldn't know what I want, as I had tried everything and didn't know what would satisfy me. It turns out nothing. Food, alcohol, and other merchandise could satisfy me. And when I was in that cycle, I was on a wild goose chase in a fruitless search for happiness or fulfillment. Only after coming to Christ did I realize that substance was never meant to satisfy us or make us happy. Those things were only intended to provide for our needs, and in our excess, we made them idols. So I was glad for the insight that I had almost walked right into that the old pattern again. Because I had this experience, I got a better glimpse of the truth of how I operate, and hopefully can discern when this happens in the future and respond accordingly with self-control. I have a better grasp on the truth of what happens when I get triggered, and hopefully can use it to set me free. And that brings us to our current series, Statements of Truth, that springs from the last portion of step number two, Deception versus Truth of the Steps to Freedom in Christ, by Dr. Neil Anderson. That steps deals with deception, and because we have completed the process of examining, confessing, and renouncing all the ways we have been deceived, the good doctor prescribes a healthy dose of truth for us. Anderson introduces the Statements of Truth by stating, for 2,000 years, Christians have known the importance of verbally and publicly declaring the truth. Read aloud the following statements of truth and carefully consider what you are professing. You may find it helpful to read them aloud every day for at least 6 weeks, which will help you renew your mind to the truth. So, for the current series, we are presenting each of the remaining 5 statements of truth and from step 2 of the Steps to Freedom in Christ, one at a time. We are declaring them verbally and publicly, because we, like the Christians who have gone before us over the last 2,000 years, know the importance of doing so. We are also sharing the statements associated Bible verses and sharing our thoughts about what each statement of truth is telling us, why they are important, and how they apply to our lives. So, today's statement of truth is number 7. I believe that the truth will set me free, and that Jesus is the truth. If he sets me free, I will be free indeed. I recognize that walking in the light is the only path of true fellowship with God and man. Therefore, I stand against all of Satan's deceptions by taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. I declare that the Bible is the only authoritative standard for truth and life. And the Bible verses listed with that statement of truth, the first one is John 8:32, where Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they share John 8:36, where Jesus says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And John 14:6, which says, "Jesus said to him, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The next verse is 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, where the Word of God says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And they also share 2 Timothy 3:14-17, which says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that whom you have learned, from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And the final set of scriptures for this statement is 1 John 1:3-7, which says, "That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Whoa, talk about scriptural support. Today's statement of truth focuses on our freedom in Christ, the reality of spiritual warfare and the need to take thoughts captive, and the Bible as our standard of truth that we are able to apply to our lives. This statement of truth highlights the three steps to freedom. Number one, faith in Jesus. Number two, recognizing that all faults are not our own, that we are under attack in our minds by temptations and lies crafted by the spiritual forces of darkness. And thus, we are to resist the devil and make him flee by taking all our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Which amounts to, number three, applying the truth of God's word to how we think and to how we live our lives. Jesus' work on the cross has set us free from sin and death, but we have to put our faith in him and live by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to fully realize our freedom. This is why we stress discipleship, learning from and following Jesus as our teacher. Our faith in him will save us and give us eternal life, but we must be well versed in the truth of God's word and the ways of our Master Jesus to experience the peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, patience, and self-control the Lord gives to us. To experience the fruit of the Spirit, we must walk in the fruit. We must walk in the Spirit. Anyway, that was the first section. We move along. Today, I sort of cut it short there, but yeah, the Bible's true. It's been, it's inspired by God, as the verses in 2 Timothy tells us. And we're supposed to follow the Lord with the way we live our lives and to resist the enemy by taking all our thoughts captive. Anyway, we move along to the next section, which is our Bible verses of today, which are drawn. They come to us from the quick scripture reference for counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verse comes from the section on alcohol and drug abuse, and today's verse is Proverbs 20, number 1, which says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it, it is not wise." Today's verse falls under the third point of our counseling reference guides resource section on alcohol and drug abuse, which is, number 3, "Wine is a mocker, beer a brawler." Today's verse encourages us to be wise by not being led astray by wine and strong drink. While beer isn't mentioned in Scripture, our resource author rightfully counts it as strong drink and calls it a brawler. Many a bar fight is fueled by beer, so I won't listen to any objections over beer being categorized as a brawler. This is one of those drunken verses in the Bible that provided the conviction that led me to ask the Lord to help me walk away from booze for good. God was faithful to help me, and I would encourage anyone who knows the pain of alcoholism to turn to God and a Christian recovery program to get set free. Celebrate Recovery Ministries or even AA are available to help you to put your faith in God to help you walk away from drugs and alcohol for good. So don't be mocked and stop fighting with booze and seek the Lord to set you free. As always, we encourage, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Holy Spirit, as we continue in chapter 21, which is on the Spirit leading. And today's topic is knowing we are led by the Spirit. And so if you want to know that you're led by the Spirit or know what A.W. Pink has to say about that, go to mtforchrist.org and you'll see that resource at the end of today's blog post. As always, we encourage a lifestyle of Christian discipleship. The sun sets you free, and you can be free indeed, but if you think you're just going to experience freedom from all the pain in your life, by going to church once a week, you might be in for a rude awakening. The Word of God doesn't really call us just to participate in a weekly worship service. It calls us to follow the Lord and to seek the Lord and His righteousness, to live our lives, to go and make disciples of all nations, teach them what Jesus taught us. So we have to, the implication is that we'll know what Jesus taught us. And so it also indicates we're supposed to walk in righteousness. So we're supposed to follow what Jesus taught us, not just to know it. We encourage a lifestyle of Christian discipleship because we have experienced our freedom in Christ. Through the steps to freedom in Christ, we renounced all our sin, our involvement with the occult, our generational curses, our soul ties, all our sin, our pride, our rebellion, and we forgave everyone for everything. So we recommend that. We recommend the steps to freedom in Christ. That's why we're sharing from that resource with the statements of truth, is to show there's great truths in the Bible about us. But if we don't believe it or apply it to our lives, we won't experience it. Ask me how I know. Well, that's how I walked the first few years after becoming a Christian. I just figured I'd roll around in the grace of the Lord and just do what I wanted to do. But it wasn't how I was supposed to live. And the Holy Spirit convicted me to read God's word. And the more I read it, the more I became convinced that I was supposed to be authentic in my faith and follow Jesus with the way I live my life. So we pursued the Lord and listened to all kinds of Christian teachings, read Christian books, read the Bible several times, went to Bible college, did mission trips, did ministries, all in the pursuit of the Lord. And we found him. He found us, and we've been following him ever since. And I don't have any regrets in terms of anything I've done to follow the Lord, even the loss of relationships or, you know, friendships. I'm following Jesus now, and I don't regret anything in terms of that journey. So we recommend a lifestyle of discipleship because it really is the appropriate response to our faith in Jesus. So we share on the blog, on the podcast, and our YouTube channel our lessons that we've taught back in 2021 for victory over the darkness, the bondage breaker, and freedom in Christ, to help people to know the truth about themselves, of who they are in Christ, and to be set free. Those works, of course, are based on Dr. Neil Anderson's work and the Word of God. And because we revere the Word of God, we also do a weekly Bible study that we share on the blog and podcast and YouTube channel called Bible Study with the Sincottis. And prayerfully, we'll be doing another one tomorrow where we get together. Arthur Sincotti puts a Bible study together, usually based on a few scriptures and some word studies, basically. And we discuss whatever topic of the week that comes up and how it relates to scripture, and most importantly, how it applies to our lives. It's not just about knowing the word and the facts and figures of scripture. It's about, what do I do with this? And how do I know it, and how do I share it with others? And so that's what this ministry is all about, sharing the love, sharing and showing the love of God by telling people about Jesus. Anyway, I have to work. I'm a little distracted because it's forced work assignment. Had to do things a little differently this morning. And, wrote a poison letter to my children. So, we need to pray, I think. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for everything you provided us with, our families, our jobs, our homes, everything we have. And Lord, we just, obviously we need your help to walk the way we should, to speak the truth in love, and to do your will on earth. So Lord, we just pray for you to go before us today. Open our eyes to the things you want us to see, and move our steps in the way you want us to walk. We also pray for anyone listening or reading this message that they'd be blessed in their prayer request and their walk of faith. We pray for a friend who's concerned about a tropical storm coming next week where they live, and we just pray for their protection and for them to trust in you, to have peace of heart and mind. As they kind of reached out for prayer yesterday. And we just pray for you to be with them. And Lord, we just, as always, we pray for you to be with us, because we desperately need your help and guidance as we go through life. Because all we want to do is represent you in your kingdom. And so we ask you to help us today. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.